The application is, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord to all of the impossible things we have to face today.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, November 13th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Valley of Dry Bones. Our text comes to us from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, here we go. So we prayed last Sunday the Lord would move and would help us with elections, and we prayed specifically for the Lord to give us something we wanted, and we didn't get it. Some of my major pastors that I know in the thousands of River of Life in that part of the world, and others, for the first time, pastors spoke and said what they felt in their heart, and it didn't go the way that we wanted it. And so I kind of alluded to that. We ask the Lord to do things, and then if they don't come through, we have to understand God's answer, and we need to move on with life. So I thought this morning maybe we should just address Daniel in Babylon and how Daniel just kept doing what he was doing. They even had a law that said if you pray, not to the god of Babylon, but if you pray to anybody other, I mean, we'll throw you into the lion's den. And Daniel kept on praying, opened the windows three times a day and prayed. And his commitment to God was not altered by the situations that were going on in society. He kept believing in the God that he had in his heart, the God that was with him from the very beginning. And he ruled in Babylon as one of the top officials. He didn't say, I'm going to leave, I'm going to stay. No, he just remained where he was, trying to make a difference, and made a difference, I am sure. And so the more that I thought about Daniel, I thought maybe we could just jump in the Bible to Daniel and just skim through Daniel and see how in the midst of oppositions, you just keep the faith. Or better yet, the faith keeps you. But then I moved that away real quickly when I remember that we have the prophet Ezekiel, one of the oddest prophets in the entire Old Testament. And I thought we would go ahead and land in Ezekiel chapter 37 and address the Valley of the Dry Bones. And just a couple of remarks. The Valley of the Dry Bones, because I feel like I woke up to the Valley of the Dry Bones. Yeah, getting old, you know, so dry bones, you know. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37 and let's look at that passage. We'll read it together. And it says, The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. I think it's the San Gabriel Valley. In the middle of a valley, it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling noise, sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. May God bless the reading of his word. We can speak only because we have his words. And it's only because of the Holy Spirit that we can understand his words. So I pray that this morning the Lord will speak to you. And there will be something you'll take home with you, something you'll be able to tuck into your heart and use in the days to come. So we pray for the Lord to speak to our hearts. Otherwise, this is just an exercise in speech hearing. And you don't want that. You want the Lord to speak to you. Amen. So Ezekiel was quite a man, quite a prophet. And he starts in chapter 1 of the book, and he was the original four-square preacher. Because in chapter 1, you find the chariots of God and the cherubims moving up and down and all. The whole thing is just fascinating to read chapter 1 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel flourished in the 6th century B.C., and he was just a prophet priest. He was not very well known, but he became well known after he wrote what he wrote. His whole Old Testament prophet is amazing. And in the first part of his prophecy, Ezekiel is very rough on Israel and actually to Jerusalem, and pronouncements of violence and destruction. And then the second part of the book, he speaks about hopes for the Israelites' exile in Babylon. Ezekiel is a weird guy. How many are kind of weird here this morning? I feel weird. What I'm saying is that he was not the usual cut. When you compare Ezekiel to the other prophets that were part of our assembly of the Old Testament, you find that Ezekiel was given to symbolic actions and strange visions and rare trances. He was a kind of a strange duck. For instance, in chapter 3, for instance, he was asked to eat the scroll, physically, literally eat the scroll, the words of prophecy that were written. And he was trying to symbolize the fact that we need to appropriate the message. How would you like to eat your iPhone right now? He also throws himself down for an extended time, symbolizing his punishment. He gets tied up and stays there. In other occasions, he was stuck dumb. He didn't speak for an unspecified length of time. And you keep on reading this man, and you see that he was quite a dramatic prophet, quite a dramatic man. How he made the messages of God come alive. But one very peculiar aspect of Ezekiel correlates with other prophets, that he spoke about the idea of husband and wife, and how unfaithfulness is horrible in husband and wife lives. And he said that is analogous to what God's people had done, that God's people had committed adultery against God, that God's people walked away from God, that they went and sought other gods, the unfaithfulness of God's people. And he continues to do that. And he addresses this whole concept of we have left God. God has not left us, but we have walked away from God. So Ezekiel is one of those books that you read and you kind of understand that he's going to say something to us today. In chapter 37, in verse 1, it starts by saying, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that in the midst of all issues, God's hand can be and is upon you and is upon me. And he goes on saying, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. We sometimes ask ourselves the question, where was he? In the same place where he saw the chariots, where he saw in chapter 1 by the river, when he saw the great manifestation of God's power, omnipotence. Now he is in the same situation and is a valley of dry bones. He saw the majesty of God in one moment, and then he saw the desolation of the exiles. Their bones were bleached white by the desert storm and desert sun, like the site of a battlefield months after the event. He goes on reading, and he says, and he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones in the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Then verse 3, he says, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Can they live? The obvious answer, of course, is no, they can't live. However, God is the one who gives life. And so Ezekiel is guarded in how he responds to God, because he knew that God could make it happen. He knew that God could revive and bring life to those dry bones in the valley. That's what he says in the following verse. He says, actually, he says, I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Yeah, guarded response. I believe that Ezekiel had the knowledge not to deny God's ability, but he had the lack of faith to believe in it. And sometimes it comes to our life in the issues of our dry bones, and issues that have gone astray, issues that have not gone the way we wanted them to go. And all of a sudden, we see ourselves in the valley of the dry bones, and oh, and behold, there are bones. And the question is, can this ever come back to life? And we don't deny the ability of God's strength and, gosh, God's power to do anything he so sees fit to do. But we often lack the faith to believe that God will actually do it in our lives. So you keep on reading, and he says, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I think that's time for you and I to hear God's word in our lives and speak the word of the Lord to our dry bones of our existences. The application is, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord to all of the impossible things we have to face today. To everything that you and I have complained, everything you and I have been concerned, everything you and I feel is just the end of the world, we just simply need to simply prophesy the word of the Lord. Say, this is what God has to say. He goes on saying, this is what the sovereign Lord says to the bones. There's a message from God to the dry bones of your life. There is a message. And he says, I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath on you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I was prophesying. There was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Let me just stop right there and say that you and I need to understand God's word in our life and how it rules over the issues that are going on. Let me talk about the church for a second. I often believe that the church is seen here as a parallel. We see beautiful buildings. We see tendons and flesh. We see beautiful campuses. We see this and we see that, and we marvel at the fact that that there is a church and there is a structure and we have a program of this and a program of that. And yeah, the tendons are there, the flesh is there. And yet somehow, some way, we don't produce at the end of the day. We don't produce at the end of the day. We don't produce. We have structures. We have programs. But we don't produce. The final product is still lifeless. And we look at our own lives and we want things to happen in a certain way. And if I just do this, if I just do that, if I just do the other. And that, and we see the tendons and we see the flesh and we see the bones coming together. And yet it's not full of life. It has no life. It's lifeless. It's because, see, as you continue to read, there was no breath in them. There was something lacking. And what was lacking was the breath of God. What was lacking was, well, it says, verse 9, then he said, prophesied to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and I will say it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into this slain that they may live. And if there's anything that the church needs today, is to embrace God's word, but always demanding, or shall we say, always expecting, wanting for the breath of the Holy Spirit to give us life. We don't produce life. John chapter 3, and Jesus speaking, he says, the Spirit of God moves wherever it wants to. And no one can tell where it's coming from. And there's a sovereignty of God that needs to be expected and cherished. Because, like they say in Spanish, la movida es de Dios. God is the one that actually does it. And sometimes we think our own efforts, our own methodical way of approaching God and scripture and church, that if we do certain things, then things are going to happen. But no, it's according to God's breath, to God's spirit, which you and I do not control. Oh gosh, as the election's returning, we're coming in, and I saw what was happening. I said, Lord, you are in charge. And we are in Babylon. But I did this, and I did that. I did the other. And yet, it didn't go through. And we do things in our lives as well. But sometimes we do things because we expect an outcome. We have not stepped back and asked, is this the Lord's outcome? Or is it what I want? Or is it what God wants? The breath of God determines what God wants. Because I have news for you. What God wants, he gets. Time for lunch, right? So I looked, and tendons and flesh appear on them, and skin cover them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into this slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I commanded, as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So it comes to a moment in your life and my life that we need to speak to the issues that we're facing. And pray for God's breath to come upon us, to resolve the issues. And sometimes it's resolved not the way we want it to, but it's resolved according to his sovereignty in your life and in my life. And sometimes we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and we don't want to, but we're going to go through it. Sometimes we go through the valley of the dry bones, and sometimes the bones are still scattered around. They still haven't even come together. But there's something about believing and trusting God that when we speak the word, God will operate and will do according to his will in our lives. I get so upset. The word upset is a good word for it. When we think we can tell God what to do. We can only pray that we'll understand his will in our life and allow him to take over in our hearts. But we often come to God with an agenda of prayer, an agenda of demands, and we are in the valley of the dry bones. And yet somehow, some way, we think that we have it all resolved. No, we're bleached bones. It's when we speak the word, and the word reaches us that we begin to have a construct, but it's the Spirit of God that gives you the ability and the power and the strength to become a vast army. So in verse 11, he says to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off." And so often in the midst of our most difficult moments in life, we feel cut off. But we're not cut off. The reason we're not cut off is because verse 12 says, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord God says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit on you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord has spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." We need the presence of God in our lives. We need his word, but we need the Spirit of God to accompany the word. We can have a lot of things going on, a lot of programs going on, a lot of processes that we think are going to get us to the finish line, but you need the sovereign act of the Holy Spirit working in your life, guiding your ship. And he guides each one of us individually, and he speaks to you. He speaks to the dryness of your heart. He speaks to your despair, that you must let God do what he's going to do in your life and abide by his resolution over you. And not try to guess God's work, but simply say, "Lord, I am your servant. Work in my life as you would please." And you read God's word, you get God's word in your heart, and you allow the moving of the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to speak to your heart, to strengthen you, and he will carry you to the finish line. Amen. I'm always puzzled by the Old Testament and how God dealt so roughly with his people. But also God's people were pretty rough with God. They walked away from God. They were lukewarm. And in Revelation, it says he will spit you out of your mouth. This is a condition that comes upon Christians today that is untasty for God. So God calls us into a place of discipline, calls us into a place where he has to work independent of your wishes, where he has to process things in your life that you fight, where he says, until you don't learn this, you don't go to the next class, where the Spirit of God has an outcome for you, and yet somehow we don't want to accept that outcome. Who was it that said something like, "God never really punishes the Christian. He disciplines the Christian." It's true. And I don't believe that we're being punished. We're being disciplined as a church. The whole church, we walked away from many of those great moments of our history where the moving of God was such that it actually transformed society. But we got so happy being so important in society that we lost sight that it wasn't us, but it was the Spirit of God in us. It was the Spirit of God. Because social gatherings exist to this day. But I've never gone to a Lions Club or an Elk Club or any one of those. But whenever people go to those, it's just a nice association, a nice community. You drink your whiskey and you smoke your cigar and you chat and you talk and that's it. But when we come to God's house, it is the Spirit of God that dwells and speaks and transforms completely different. And we forget the value. We're more than just a society or a communion, a community of people. We're God's chosen ones with an agenda to, yes, change effectively the world. But we get comfortable, and so we become dry bones. Where was the church? Where is the church? Well, you're the church. Where have you been? I'm asking the question because there is a valley of dry bones that we have to contend with. Your personal dry bone reservoir, and then the church's dry bones reservoir. And we often try to find three steps to fix this problem. I'll do one, I'll do two, and do three, and then I get my answers. And that's not how it works. It is God sovereignly working in the church as a whole, but individually in your own life. Yeah, will this bones live again? Can it live again? Yes, it can. The prophet spoke the word, but then the Spirit of God had to come to put it together. So we get the word, but then we wait on the Spirit of God to give us his breath of life, which is a sovereign act of God. But we must speak the word, and we must receive the word, and then we must receive the Spirit as it comes to accomplish what he wants. We can become a church of demands, but that's not how it works. We have to be a church of belief that God is guiding our own particular lives, and he's also guiding the church at large, and he is. Because I want you to know what you and I are going through is within the jurisdiction of his power. God has not lost his grip on your life or my life or in the church. He knows what's going on. God has not really walked out on us. We're the ones who have walked out. We're the ones who want to resolve our own valley of dry bones. We're the ones who have the solutions to the issues. But it's God who has the solutions to the issues that you and I face today. So last week when I said, Jeremiah said to the people in Babylon who were in exile, get married, plant vines, plant a garden, have children, and seek the peace of the city. See, it's what God does with you where you are. Because you're not where you are by accident. You're there by design. Somehow, some way, God led you to where you are today. And you may be looking around and see dry bones in your own life and in your marriages, in your job, in your situation at home. And yet, it's the Spirit of God that has to come in to show you that he can fix it, that he can bring life back to you. Well, so much more we can say, but that's about all I'm going to say this Sunday morning, because what we need to do is look at what's supposed to be a hopeless situation and see that it's the plan of God to get us from point A to point B. And some of us want to go to point C and D, and that's where we're stuck in the valley of the dry bones. We need to ask God with faith, believing that we will receive. But the Bible tells us that we can only ask God according to his will. Because he only answers according to his will. Not your will, but God's will, where the Spirit blows. But we got this idea that we can, tell God what to do. And when he doesn't do what we tell him what to do, we get disappointed with God and we say, he's no longer my Lord. He is still your Lord. There are some things that God will fix like you want them to be fixed, or the Lord will take care of things in your life the way you want to, but only when you allow the Spirit of God to do it His way in your life. So I thought of the valley of the dry bones and the prophet having to answer those questions to God. Says, will this ever change, Lord? Will this ever change? Will this ever change? Will it's can, and then to hear God asking the question, can they live again? I mean, God's interested. God is asking, giving you the challenge to see Him work in your life. So speak the word to the issues that you're at hand, and then allow the Spirit of God to bring life. I can hear a rattling of bones. If I move this way, it cracks. If I move this other way, it doesn't. I'm speaking about the bones of our lives. Speaking about the structures that are dry and bleached out. They can come together. And so wonderful, because we get ourselves into that structure of a skeleton, and we become normalized. That is to say, we now are not spread around. Now our bones are connected to the bones, and then all of a sudden we get the tendons going. Oh, and then all of a sudden the flesh comes, and oh my goodness, look at me. Yeah, but you still don't have life until the Spirit of God comes upon you and breathes on you. And we've been good at developing structures and looking pretty good at structures. But it's not, I'll say it, not new chairs. It's not a new pulpit. It's not a coat of paint. It's not a stove, which is a pretty good one over there. It's the Spirit of God that brings life. So we must ask God, Lord, breathe upon me. Spirit of God, let your will be done. And from the four corners of the world, from everywhere, the Spirit of God comes, and every aspect of your life gains life. And you can be a vast army that conquers the world. So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning for your touch upon our lives. Lord, we were in desperate need of your Spirit to breathe upon us. To breathe upon us, Lord. Spirit of the living God, come and breathe upon us, Lord. Lord, we confess to you that we have a structure. We confess that the dry bones of our lives have been adorned by flesh and tendons. But Lord, sometimes we're lifeless. We have the appearance of something, but there is no life. Lord, we ask you for that life to come. Oh Lord, some of us have just that small light of life, that small breath of life. But Lord, we want it to blow upon us in such a way that we will have life, and that we will stand as an army, that we will count for your glory. Speak to us, O Lord, and breathe upon us. For Lord, as we said before, if we didn't have your word, we have nothing to say. And if we don't have your Holy Spirit, we have not able to understand it. So Spirit of God, breathe upon us this morning. Let your breath come upon us. Let it be the breath of God and not the breath of man. So Lord, I will speak to the bones of our existence. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. Your word says that Jesus looked up his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we receive it, so that the valley of dry bones will no longer be dry, but it will be a mighty army. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness, open my eyes. Jesus, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. And you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake he came.
So today you look at the valley of the dry bones of your existence, the issues that you're facing, and speak the word. Read God's word into it. Have a time when you read God's word. And then in addition to reading God's word and being in the word and speaking the word to those issues, say, Lord, let it breathe on me. Have your way in my life. Lord, do according to your will, not my will. Just read upon me, Lord. And you'd be amazed how the Lord will breathe upon you. And your life will be transformed. And you will have life to serve him. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And you serve in the valley of the dry bones, by the way. You're still there. But you serve him. You serve him. And you're not... Just serve him. Let me just leave it there. Amen. Amen. Good. So you were going to applaud, so go ahead and applaud. All right. That's it. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check us out at www.bb4square.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. See you next week.